Hello, and welcome to Legends of the Brave and the Bold. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and in this episode, instead of TFG on mic, we still have a mic here, but he hasn't been on the podcast in a while.
I haven't been on this podcast, period.
Yeah, that is true. You have not been on this one. You've been on Altered Geek and among other ones. But yeah, this is Mike Booth Ninja Powers.
Hello.
And so, as I mentioned in a previous Altered Geek of moving essentially all the superhero and DC-related, well, at least the DC-related content over here, it's only fitting that we talk about, the CW crossover, Justice League, and the fact that DCEU is really falling off the deep end at this point.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
Between the Batman in the air thing and you know, the universe falling apart, as it were. TV seems to have it all together as opposed to the film universe.
Yeah, but I mean, on the TV side of things, you get like, you could put a story out there and get like a bad backlash, and then like three episodes later, they will have corrected it, you know, because of the writing room and the way TV is structured. You put out a bad movie and
2 years later.
Yeah, you've got to wait 2 years for someone to fix it if they're going to fix it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, my cat's going to sneeze. Get ready for that, everybody.
It's all right. Mine's bothering me on my keyboard, so.
He has sneezing fits. So, it sounds like a sprinkler is going off here in a second. Oh, I think he's going to. Nope. He keeps staring at me after he's like, he's doing the wind-up. And then he just stares at me.
That's funny.
I'm going to ruin your podcast.
My cat thinks that all the time.
So, I had a really interesting idea here. With the crossover episodes from DC.
Yes.
I guess we can kind of start there.
Yeah, since that's probably going to be the lighter point of this episode.
But I wanted to know, because I haven't listened to this the Legends podcast, and I haven't been able to follow along with a whole lot of the Geekcast stuff or see your opinion, Steve, or Mike's opinion on Twitter or Facebook if there was one. But this is the second Arrowverse crossover that they've done.
Yes.
Just briefly, like, just so I have a frame of reference, what was your opinion of the first one? I mean, I don't want to go too in depth into it or anything like that, but like, how did you come down on the first crossover? Because,
well, the first crossover I felt wasn't that bad, although the whole, you know, the way the Supergirl thing kind of came down was kind of
she wasn't there.
She wasn't really there. I mean, she was there, but she wasn't there. Like, it was like a afterthought of adding her in.
Well, and not only that, was it like an afterthought. It was like they didn't have anything for her to do.
No, and that whole arc right there was kind of just, it was just their first way of putting them all together on the same screen instead of having something coherent to do.
It kind of reminded me of the way Justice League seasons 1 and 2 treat Superman, which is he has nothing to do, and when he does have something to do, he's getting the tar beaten out of him.
Yeah,
like in my opinion, I don't feel like Superman actually gets to be Superman until Justice League, like Justice League Unlimited. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because they finally find a way to use him in a way that actually can show off his strength or what Superman actually is. But like, and I'm not saying like the betrayal of Superman is bad. I'm just saying they don't know how to use him in action sequences, because at the end of the day, Superman is like all superheroes
rolled into one.
And it's like, well, we have to have him because he's in the Justice League, but we don't know how to use him. So anybody who's anybody can just slug him in the face and knock him around like a ping pong ball.
So what you're saying is that's why Batman always wins.
Yeah. But like, I feel like that was what happened with Supergirl in this first in the first crossover. It's like, we have her, but we don't, it's either we don't have the money to use her properly or we don't know how to use her properly amongst these other heroes.
Makes sense.
And so that was my biggest disappointment with the first crossover.
Yeah, that first crossover was a bit of a mess. This one, on the other hand, the Nazi thing aside, because it seems to be the thing to go to these days, although people were giving them flack for that after it aired, but they forget that shows were doing this 10 years ago, too. I mean, if you look at Star Trek Enterprise, they had multiple episodes with an entire Nazi arc.
Well, let's not forget.
With time travel.
Let's not forget, up until this last year, Nazis were the bad guys.
Yeah.
like, up until a year ago, Nazi sympathizers were idiots. I mean, in my opinion, they still are, but they didn't think that they had a soapbox to stand on. And now, because, not to get political, but because of our dipshit president, they have a soapbox. So, of course, everyone, everything old is new again.
Yeah, so. And that's kind of the cycle of everything. So, getting into the episodes, like, this felt like a much more cohesive set of episodes that kind of set themselves apart as, like, their own movie, in a sense. And they shared the same title sequence. They weren't, you know, you weren't watching Arrow, you weren't watching Legends or Supergirl or The Flash. They were all Crisis on Earth X.
Right. It definitely felt like this was not like, if you're, now, I say this next part having not seen the following, the aftermath episodes, like the episodes that come after the crossover, but like it definitely felt more like if you were to, if they were to release like the season box set, like this episode wouldn't be included, or all four episodes would be included in each box set. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, and I've seen all the episodes following it, and there's little bit of continuity speech wise that's added in.
I mean, there are things that happen.
Yeah, well, there were things that happened and things that were referenced in the follow-up episodes after these, after the crisis, but it really wasn't of consequence on the general arc of the seasons.
Right.
It was like you could take them out and it wouldn't matter.
Right.
For the most part.
So, but that said, my opinion... of this crossover. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I like the way that they structured it. I like that it felt like four continuous episodes rather than here's your episode of Arrow, here's your episode of Flash, here's your episode of Supergirl. Like, I like that they all felt like one continuous episode and it didn't matter whose show it was that it aired on. I like that. And the one thing that I just didn't care for is the same thing I didn't care for about the first crossover, is that they didn't know what to do with Supergirl again.
Well, they had evil Supergirl, though, so they had to have her fight her.
Well, okay, that's in the first episode. And then Supergirl very quickly becomes captured and strapped to a table for two episodes.
Red Sun chair.
Yeah. And then... I mean, yeah, she gets to come out and play in the fourth episode, so they finally gave her something to do, but there really was that her actions, what they allowed her to do, just basically bookended the movie, right?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't think of something for her. I felt like they didn't know how to utilize her in a team structure. Speaking of Supergirl, are we offering up spoilers here? Or is it supposed to be like spoiler free?
Oh no, definitely spoilers.
Okay. What? Maybe you can help me out here because you talked about having that photographic memory. I remember the scene, but I don't remember which episode it is. It's when Arrow, White Canary, Flash, Supergirl, and I think, oh, it's the end of the second episode when they all get captured.
Yep.
Okay. There is a, in that montage where everyone's fighting everybody, there is a part where SS Supergirl is fighting White Canary. What? Like, how? Like, who? It, and it's not like they didn't make it like front and center. Like, it's a background fight that's going on, and like this wide shot of all the heroes and the villains fighting each other. But like, it was such a mismatch that it stuck out to me. Like, there's this, it's like Supergirl literally has White Canary pinned up against a concrete pillar, and I was like, how is White Canary just not pulp? Like, that is not a combat pairing that ends in any other way than White Canary dying again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the only thing I can think that they thought with that is because SS Supergirl was supposedly injured from, you know, the yellow sun and the red sun and you know, all this other, however they made this work in their mind with the sun thing.
Yeah.
Because I was a little confused.
Also, did SS Supergirl not know about kryptonite?
Apparently not.
Yeah, that also kind of that kind of stuck out to me.
Which was like, which was humorous that Oliver had an arrow, just like the Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, I just,
except it pierced her instead of turning into dust.
Like, I don't want. I think I said this on Twitter. Does the this is kind of turning into an overall discussion of the Arrowverse in general. For me, only because I haven't been able to talk about this with geeky people besides my wife. But does the existence of Bruce Wayne in the Arrowverse kind of knock Arrow down a peg?
Yeah.
They spent like
it drives me nuts. Now? They've referenced him on numerous occasions in both Arrow and in Legends and in Supergirl and in, you know, the Flash. They've all referenced it, just like they've referenced Green Lantern in both the Flash and Arrow.
See, I've only ever caught the one reference of Bruce Wayne, and that's because they hit it like right on the head.
You mean because
they call them out?
Yeah, they call them out by name.
But like I feel like they spent six seasons trying to build Arrow into Batman, and they make him. They make him feel, or Batman-like. Make all of his stuff feel Batman-ish or Batman-y, even though that's never what Arrow actually is. And I feel like the fact that you said they've mentioned him multiple times, but the minute they mentioned him by name, like they did in this season, like I feel like that just knocks like Arrow like down, like not just like a peg, but like. All the way down to the bottom, like where Arrow is supposed to be. Like your stuff doesn't matter.
Well, Arrow's like third tier Justice League,
right?
And the Flash is first tier, and so is Martian Manhunter, and Supergirl's like second tier,
right? But they've spent so much time trying to make Arrow into Batman that now that you've referenced Batman, like you've just erased everything. I'm just saying, I feel like it just knocks him down a peg.
Yeah, and I get that.
It's so weird to do that.
Well, they first referenced it in The Flash with that whole time travel room that the Eobard Thawne, Harrison Wells would go into with the newspaper thing.
Yeah.
Because it said Wayne Industries, you know, completes takeover of Queen Consolidated.
Oh, okay. All right,
So that was one. Then they had Wayne Tech show up somewhere. And then they had... you know, in Legends, the reference of, you know, I've seen Man of Steel, you know, something in Dark Knight's Fall, and then
Now that you're calling out these references, I remember. But I think the first time they've ever called him out by name, though, was this season. Like, everything else is just, like, kind of a nod at the camera, right? Like, they've never...
Yeah, they've never said his name. They've right. referenced his character and his persona. You know, even in Supergirl, there was, you know, the Gotham thing or the, you know, my cousin fought with a vigilante once, blah, blah, blah. And,
yeah.
You know. You know,
also, the other thing that really bothers me about the crossover, and I know this is just me, like, geeking out about continuity and, like, all the little, like, ins and outs and the weaving of, like, you know, all these complex stories that, you know, Marvel tells and DC's doing on, like, on the small screen. Like, you've cast Superman. You've used him twice?
Three times or four, but still.
Like, how? Why isn't he in these Arrow crossovers? Like, I get it's because you have Superman, and I just complained about the fact that they can't come up with anything for Supergirl to do. Like, obviously, there's no way they come up with something for Superman to do.
That's why they took him out of the episodes.
Right.
And they made him a zombie in one episode.
But I'm like, you've cast him. Like, why is he not used, like, more? But that's just, and I get it, but it's because they can't find a reason to.
Well, it's, and they don't want to overshadow Supergirl because, again, it's her show. But there's no reason why they couldn't send him over to the Arrowverse.
Do you think...
Because Supergirl's on her own Earth.
Yeah, do you think there's ever... I kind of thought that they might do it here, or they might have done it with, like, Flashpoint. But do you think they'll ever, like, collapse the universes on each other?
I kind of wish they would, because I would like to see... I would like to see, you know, Martian Manhunter, Supergirl, and Superman, like, join the Arrowverse.
I would, too. I'm just... It seems like if they were going to do it, they would have done it by now. And the fact that they just had that stupid gimmick where she just, like, can open up a portal.
Well, yeah, they did that a while ago, but...
Yeah, I know they did it a while ago. But, like, I forgot about it until I didn't forget about it.
Well, they had that episode where, last season, where she came over against, like, the, Mr. Mitzi Plix or whatever.
Mitzel Pitlick.
Whatever. I can't pronounce the name.
I can say it because it was really easy to say in Smallville. Mitzel Pitlick.
Okay.
Like, he was my favorite character in Smallville. Well, one of my favorite characters in Smallville.
He was a one-off in this, and so, like, he did that thing with the Flash and Supergirl and kind of locked him in that...
Yeah.
Sleepland. So, but yeah, I don't know. I wish that at this point that they would just bring in Bruce Wayne, like, cast him, and then even if he's not portraying Batman, except for, like, here or there.
I don't know. I just feel like admitting that he exists in this universe just, like, makes you realize, in the Batman stories we know, it makes you realize how trivial Arrow actually is. And it also bums me out that, like, he's never been referenced with anything to do with the, like, League of Shadows.
Yeah, that kind of bothers me too, especially when they've had, they've never referenced Nyssa before, but Talia does show up.
Mm-hmm. Ben Roz.
Yep.
Like it, but they all treated him like he was Bruce Wayne. it's like, okay, all right. So, I mean, I like this crossover more than the first one, because, like I said, it flowed a lot better.
And they did end off, kill off a character, which I knew was going to be leaving the show anyway, but
I didn't expect him to leave in that way.
I kind of did, but that's because then it's definitive. Like, he was kind of referencing he didn't want to come back.
Like, I like seeing all the different characters. Like, I like seeing all the characters from Earth X, all that stuff.
It was, I like, just how they keep bringing back Captain Cold.
Yeah. It's Weather Wizard that is the one that's very rarely used, right?
Yeah, Captain Cold comes back quite often. Yeah.
Okay.
It's Snart. Yeah.
Yeah, Snart. My wife and I love Snart.
I like the actor. He's awesome anyway.
I like the way. I don't know if that's how he is with all of his characters, like a Ryan Reynolds type thing. But I like his. Well, I like the way he delivers his dialogue.
He's usually pretty dry. I mean, he's dry in this too, but like he's less snarky in his other stuff. Like if you watch him on Prison Break,
which I haven't.
That show's so good, continuity wise and writing wise. It's they wrote a fifth season to it, which.
But is he like a Ryan Reynolds type actor where he delivers all of his stuff the same way, or is his Captain Cold unique to the other roles that he plays?
Okay. It's unique. I've seen him in other roles, and he's usually his Prison Break persona.
See, we like the character he plays as Captain Cold.
Yeah.
We just like the way that he delivers his lines, and it was really interesting to see the good Captain Cold.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool.
Well, and he's the funny thing of him and Heatwave. They played brothers in Prison Break, which is why they have such good chemistry here.
Oh yeah.
And so it's funny to see them get to work together again. Yeah, I mean, that was one of the aspects I liked, and then I liked the fact that, you know, they brought back Yabar Thawne yet again. Still not explaining how this particular iteration of them was alive, but...
I don't think you ever have to explain that with a speedster. Like, I think that's just one of the things that they get away with. It's kind of like a speedster in the DC universe is kind of like Doctor Who.
They just regenerate because the Speed Force allows it.
Or they just exist now because they've already been there at that time. Like when they died, like when that Eobard Thawne had already died, the events in that we saw already in Earth 10 or the Earth X crossover had like already happened for him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He still died when he died, but we never saw him. You know, Barry's hadn't confronted him on Earth X yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I feel like that's how you get around that kind of stuff. He died when he died, but he had all this other stuff happen when he was alive. So we can just put him in all of these different situations, and that's just how it is. So, but no, I'm enjoying it. I think this season, I mean, Arrow is still. On a whole so far, going into like the mid-season breaks and stuff like that?
Well, the mid-season break, I will say they completely destroyed his team.
See, I haven't seen anything post the Earth-X crossover. But I feel like 10, or I feel like Arrow is still the worst of all four shows.
I think Supergirl has been pretty bad this season.
It's because
she's been like super emo and mopey.
Yeah, but I will say Flash has had a big turnaround.
Yeah.
So that's Flash has been fun, and I still love Legends because Legends just allows the writers to do whatever the hell they want.
Pretty much. Like the first season, I didn't care for it much, but after that, I was pretty much set.
So I don't know if anyone has ever. Any of the listeners out there have ever, I know this is a DC thing, but if any of the listeners out there have ever read the Marvel comic Exiles, which is EXILES, if you're a fan of that and you're not watching Legends, I suggest you start watching Legends because Legends is as close as we're going to get to an Exiles TV show for the foreseeable future. And the premise of Exiles is not unlike Legends of Tomorrow, where various characters in the X-Men universe are plucked out of existence at the moment of their death, and they are tasked with, and it's heroes and villains alike, they are tasked with going to other dimensions and other worlds and righting a specific wrong in that world. So like the writers get to make up all these crazy things, like you go to a world where everyone's a Hulk.
Nice.
And so you've got Iron Man Hulk, Spider-Man Hulk, and like these guys just get dropped in there and they've got to like fix something, or they get dropped into a world where like Doom is the ruler of everything. Like it's so the writers get to have fun with everything. But yeah, that like Legends is as close to a TV show of that as we're gonna probably ever get. So, but I'm still enjoying it. It's like the only, I mean, it's one of the few like
DC things
ongoing TV shows that my wife and I watch.
Yeah, that's kind of the same boat here.
Like we always make time for the DC stuff, but like my TV viewing, and I've said this before on Altered Geek, my TV viewing has fallen like way off, but we've made time for the DC stuff.
See, I still watch the DC stuff, and then I watch like Lethal Weapon, and then Star Trek Discovery, stuff like that still.
Right.
But yeah, it's pretty much mostly the DC TV stuff that I tune into. And then they've got Black Lightning coming in January.
I want to check it out, but I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same boat there.
Like, so have you heard about how they're airing everything? Like, they're splitting Legends and Supergirl to make room for Black Lightning?
Yeah, I'm not excited about that at all.
Like, it'll be interesting to see how it works out and how that affects each show's ratings, more importantly, Supergirl's ratings.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to hurt some of these shows.
I think it's going to hurt Supergirl.
Yeah, I think it's going to tear that show, a new one.
So
maybe that would give way to make them collapse it into
something else.
Yeah. Because you haven't seen the Legends of Tomorrow mid-season, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay. There's a particular character from a DC-related property.
You don't... A DC-related property in a DC show.
It's
you don't say.
From a DC show. But ends up joining the cast of Justice... Or of the Legends.
Is it... Wally West?
No. Although that may eventually happen, just because he gets nothing to do on The Flash anymore, and it would seem like the next logical choice.
Huh.
Do you want to know? It's sure. Not, like, huge. It's Constantine.
Oh, okay.
They made All right. him a cast member, at least for the foreseeable future of the season, because you know, they're dealing with the mystical and the occult, and you know, who better to tackle it than John Constantine?
Maybe you know this. The new chick that they picked up on Legends of Tomorrow, is that Peace from War and Peace?
Not to my knowledge.
Or what is that? What is the name of the Hawk and Dove? Is that Dove?
I don't think so, but I'm not too familiar with those characters.
Like, I'm only familiar with them from, like, I think, what was it, Justice League Unlimited? But I feel like she's Dove. But I could be wrong. Because I felt like I read somewhere that they were bringing in Hawk and Dove into something. But I brought it up with another friend. He said he thinks it is Dove. But
yeah, see, I'll have to dig into that a little bit more, because I'm not really sure
who she is, though. Like, or are you just assuming she's just some character?
I'm just assuming she's like kind of like some character that they haven't really revealed.
The fact that she has a brother, like, there's no reason you can't gender flip a role, right? So, like, obviously Hawk and Dove in Justice League were two brothers, but there's no reason you couldn't gender flip Dove and make her a girl, and you know, her, just the way she talks about her brother being a hero and trying to save, you know, things like that. That makes me think, Hawk died and Dove is trying to make up for it. I don't know if that's true, but like I said, I think I saw that somewhere. But like in my day to day life now, like, I don't have time to actually read articles. I just read headlines.
Well, see, she's supposed to be like a criminal hacker member of the Legends. Her name's Zari Tomaz.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
No, I mean it could be anything, but I'm wondering if, you know, because she has like her own totem type thing.
Yeah. I mean, I
So
don't remember what Hawk and Dove's powers were. I just remember they were something weird and opposite each other. But wasn't Hawk just strong and Dove fast?
I have no idea. I've got minimal exposure to those characters because
See,
I
this
pretty
is why
much,
we need Mike on this podcast. He'd probably know.
or maybe not.
He might not, but we'll never know.
Yeah, she's got the air totem. All of her
Yeah.
powers come from her necklace, which manipulate the air. So essentially, she could possibly technically fly.
So she's Avatar. She's Aang.
With computer hacking ability.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm sure Aang would have had computer hacking ability if they had computers. That just makes sense.
Yeah, she can harness the abilities and powers of Isis, apparently, which, yeah, I don't know.
Well, either way, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Like I said, I swear I saw a headline that mentioned Hawk and Dove coming to something, and the only place where I've seen new characters introduced so far has been Legends of Tomorrow. So I personally wouldn't be surprised to find out that she is the Legends of Tomorrow interpretation of Dove.
Well, the other thing that's funny is she also sent. Did you see the episode with Helen of Troy?
Yeah, she sent her to Themyscira.
Yeah, which essentially sets up the first, type thing to, the Wonder Woman connections. So
Well,
it's the first time they've actually hinted at Wonder Woman in this series.
or any series.
Yeah. And so
So.
they sent her to Themyscira, which is funny. Just in of itself that they've referenced Batman and Wonder Woman in this season alone. So I just wish that they would either stop referencing it or actually use it.
Yeah. I still hold out hope that they're gonna like Tom Welling as this Arrow versus Superman.
I think it would be funny if well, Tom Welling wants to join the Flash. Like he wants to be on the show.
Only if he is somehow Superman.
I think he should be, but that's I kind of talked about that when they were talking about it, and it was kind of big news that he's like, oh, I want to join the show, blah blah blah, and if they contact me, I'll do it. I think it would be funny if he actually did portray Superman on the Arrow, Earth One,
Yeah,
and then they,
except his Superman already had an arrow.
yeah.
Yeah,
But there's no reason they couldn't pull him from another multiverse Earth.
no, I get it. I get it. It's all interesting to see what they can do. So, I mean, they've got a lot of open doors. They have a lot of shows. So.
I just wish they'd get Batman at some point. Put these guys in their place.
Only if it ends up being like, what could the next cross? Only if the next crossover was named Doom, and it's Batman coming in and taking out everybody.
Mopping the floor with them all.
Yep.
And then he's just sitting there, like, in the chair of knowledge.
It's like I've never met you guys, but I still know how to take all of you down.
He's like, you guys all suck. You're like second, third, fourth tier characters, except for the Flash. And then, I still take you down because I know. So, that all aside, what were your thoughts on Justice League?
Oh boy. So, as anyone that's listened to Altered Geek, the few episodes that I've been on in the run up to Justice League, the release of Justice League, and I don't know if I had a chance to share these. Like I love Zack Snyder films. I loved Man of Steel. I find enjoyment in Batman v Superman. Like I find it watchable. Especially the extended edition, which, the extended edition doesn't make up for what they released in theaters, but it's kind of like, Lord of the Rings. Like, I don't watch the theatrical release of a Lord of the Rings movie. I watch the extended cut of the Lord of the Rings movie. You know, like, that is the cut that matters to me. So, same thing with Batman v Superman. And I like all of Zack Snyder's films. Like, from the get-go, when they announced that he was taking over for Man of Steel, like, he was going to bring Superman to the big screen, like, that was... Like, he... And I still feel this way. Like, he was the only guy that I felt that could bring the Superman that I know, the Superman that I like, which is the Justice League Superman. Like, especially the Justice League Unlimited Superman. I thought he was the only guy that could bring that Superman to the big screen. And I feel like he did that. Like, but, and I feel like he did it again with Man of Steel. I feel like he did it with Man of Steel, and I feel like he did it with Batman v Superman. But where I will knock Snyder a little bit, like, it's a backhanded compliment, okay? And you can see it with Watchmen. You can see it with 300. And you can Dawn of the Dead isn't a comic, but it's a remake of another movie, right? I feel like he kind of like this is going to sound like so much blasphemy. He, like J.J. Abrams, is really good at paying homage to the source material. Like J.J. Abrams can make a Steven Spielberg movie, like Super 8.
Yeah.
He can make a George Lucas movie, like Episode 7. You know, he's, but like, so I feel like Snyder, for better or worse, is really good at bringing the comic to the big screen, like verbatim for the most part, right? In terms of the look, in terms of the costumes, all that stuff. And that was great, but I can also see how that doesn't work out so well. Like, people complained about like the mechanical bat suit in Batman v Superman.
See, like, I liked it,
but I liked it too. But it's you know, sometimes it doesn't look right, and that's not what the Batman people that know. But that's the Batman from the source material, like, that he was drawing from. He brought that to the screen. Having said all that, I had real high expectations for Justice League. I liked where he was going. I feel like, you know, there are people out there that are saying, like, a follow-up movie cannot save the movie that came before it. So, like, you know, the end of Man of Steel, people were really mad about the whole, like, destruction in the city. And that's a discussion that's been had and done and over with. But, like, they tried to make up for it with Man of Steel. Or Batman v Superman. So it's like, they tried, they didn't quite succeed, but okay. And I kind of hope that, like, he was just constantly building off of what he did before. And I was really hoping Justice League would be like, would capitalize on that. And for all intents and purposes, like, here, no, like, knowing what we knew and following it through production, like, this movie went from being two movies to being one movie to being a movie by committee. To all of a sudden, like, and then it changed directors. Like, I feel really bad for Zack Snyder. and the reason I feel bad is because, you know, we all know as geeks and nerds and everything, we all know that he left the production of Justice League at the beginning of the year, right?
Yep.
And it was due to family problems, and that's admirable. But seeing what was released in theaters, like, I feel like he tried to bury himself in work to get over his family tragedy, and he couldn't fight both the studio and deal with what was going on in his family. And he chose, in my opinion, rightly so, I feel like he chose the right thing and went to be with his family. and was like, this isn't even my, you know, my movie anymore. I think visually the movie is a mess. The coloring in scenes doesn't even carry over, like especially in shots that are in the same location. There are shots, it was really noticeable in a shot when they're all in the Batcave, like, you know, going over exposition, that it's like this shot was done by Snyder and you can tell by the film grain and all the effects that are laid over everything. But then the next shot is a reverse angle and all of the post stuff is gone. And it looks like a real clean film. Like here's Snyder's shot.
Here's the Avengers.
And then here's a reshoot from the other side from the exact same area. And it's like, and there's so much stuff in the movie like that. My wife even noticed it. Okay. So it's not even, it's not even just me going in there and recognizing this stuff. My wife noticed it. There were a lot of things that I just felt bad. Like it wasn't, I don't think the movie was offensive. I think it was just safe. Like they made the safest thing that they could based off of like audience feedback. And whether I agree with that or not, like I just don't think it was like, did you notice how much younger Ben Affleck happened to look in this movie?
Yeah.
Than he did.
And yet they made all the quips that he was too old for that.
Yeah. In Batman v Superman, he looked like 15 years younger in this movie.
He used a lot of Rogaine.
I really wish we could have, like, there was all that talk about the justice, like the Snyder cut of the movie. I want to see that. I would pay real money to see that. I don't even want to see it in the theater. I just want to see it because I want to see the final. I want to see what he was trying to do. And I just can't not feel bad for the guy because you remember these rumors, right? Where even Batman v Superman was supposed to be two movies?
Yep.
Like, it was Enter the Night and Dawn of Justice.
Yep.
And then it got condensed down into, like, one movie.
Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Yeah. And it's like, it's...
And then this was supposed to be Justice League Part 1 and then Part 2.
Right, and it was supposed to end with like them bringing in like Darkseid, and now we're not even going to get that. Like, everything that he tried to do just got like thrown out the window. And what really bothers me, and it's more glaring with Justice League than it is with Batman v Superman or Man of Steel, like Snyder chose a look that allowed him to hide, or allowed the studio to hide, or the special effects team to hide computer generated imagery, because he put it's from a comedian, but a little bit of Vaseline on the camera lens of life. Like there was a look to those movies that allowed you to, that made it so that regardless of what was in the shot, whether it was like green screen or practical, like it all looked the same because there was this aesthetic applied to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That aesthetic is gone from Justice League. So anything that is not real, like, stands out like a sore thumb because there's no consistency anymore.
You mean like the whole fight scene with Superman being back from life and they're, or back to life, and they're in that middle of that plaza fighting him?
Yes, and unfortunately, that's the one of the only scenes in the movie that I actually like, because that's what I wanted to see. Like, I was so giddy during that whole thing. Like, that is that scene right there was worth my $15 ticket. Like, that's what I wanted to see. And unfortunately, I wish it would have gone on longer. I wish we've got...
That whole Steppenwolf thing at the end was just utter garbage.
I wish the whole... See, I feel like what part one was supposed to be was...
The resurrection.
Well, it was supposed to be like a... Granted, I'm not familiar. I'm not super familiar with the comics, right? So my stuff comes from all the animated series. Okay,
I have a little bit of comic knowledge as well.
So I thought that this was going to be kind of a retelling of Justice League War, the movie.
Okay.
Okay. And but with the twist of the last three episodes of Superman the Animated Series. Which is where Superman has been brainwashed by Darkseid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that's what this first movie was going to be.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
And then all of a sudden, it's not that, except for that one small moment. And my wife was even shocked, and she's like, "That he can do that?" I said, "Yes," because the thing about Superman that we haven't seen is that he's literally every superhero rolled into one. Like, that and so he is capable of doing exactly what you're seeing here. And I will admit that moment. So here's the thing: I've always made the argument that Man of Steel ends the way that it does because he's not Superman. I feel like the first time we've got to see him be Superman
was the end of this movie.
Like this movie was him literally becoming Superman, and I get like, you know, he's partially changed because he came back from the dead, and that's fine. If that makes him, that's an interesting way to make him, like the Superman that everyone, like, enjoys, you know, and that is the Superman that I enjoy to a certain extent. But like, I don't like the Boy Scout Superman. Like, I didn't mind what Zack Snyder was trying to put on screen. So I was really bummed out when Joss took over. And I was bummed again when Junkie XL left. And they replaced him with Tim Burton. Danny Elfman.
Yep. I will comment on this. I agree with all of your points about the visuals. Because I did notice how clunky it was. And the fact that as much as I was looking for that kind of more brighter, polished look, it does not work with DC. And I could honestly see that. And we kind of, and I think you predicted this, that everybody was going to try and give Snyder crap for this, at, you know, or possibly give him crap for this, and that Joss was going to ruin this movie. When this got announced way back when, and that people would rather see what Snyder had, you know, debating whether there was a Snyder cut or not, it may prove to be more feasible if they put out a Snyder cut than the Joss cut at this point.
What was it, my argument was at the time was you're not going to know who's responsible for what scene. And it was,
but you almost can at the with the visuals.
I guess it depends on how much was like set like before Snyder walked away, right?
Yeah.
Because if you have entire scenes that were reshot, not just if you have entire scenes that were reshot, it's harder to tell. But if you have like cuts inside of a scene that were reshot, like the scene that I referenced earlier in the Batcave, that's really easy to tell. What, you know, what was what Zach had left versus what was reshot. And it's, but my argument was, if this movie is good, it's going to be because Joss fixed it. If it's bad, it's going to be because Zack Snyder directed it. Like, and that's not fair. Like, we're not going to know who did what work.
No.
You know? And not that I want to put the blame like one way or the other, but that's just, but the, again, and I've said this on Alter Geek, but this is for the people that listen to this and not Alter Geek. I don't worship at the altar of Joss Whedon. The man, in my opinion, has made one good show, and that's Firefly. And I've recently gone on record as saying, I don't even know if Firefly is that good. Like, I will not rewatch Firefly because in my head, it is good.
Yeah, and I've discovered that with a lot of content. If I go back and watch it, it ruins it for me. So I just choose to live in the nostalgia of the fact that it was awesome and then just leave it there.
Right, because we've had this conversation about a number of things. Like, you know, it's like you guys are huge Transformers fans, but I go back and try to watch Transformers just so I can like try to have a conversation with you guys, and I can't watch it. I will say this,
it is difficult to watch, and that's coming from a Transformers fan.
But that's just kind of how I feel about Firefly. Like when I watched Firefly, that was like the best. Firefly was the best sci-fi, the best TV show I've ever seen. But I have seen so much stuff, and we've come so far. Television has come so far as a medium since 2004. Like, there's no way that series holds up as anything more than what it is in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just me saying, like, I don't worship Joss. Like, and I also have gone on record as saying I don't think Avengers could have been anything but what it was because of how Marvel is as a studio. But I have pre-ordered Justice League. Like, I immediately pre-ordered it when I got home. In the movie's defense, when I watched it, I got done working a 70-hour week, and I went to a 10:45 showing at night. So I was not happy about work. I was tired. I was exhausted. And I haven't seen the movie since. Like, I do want to watch it again to see if it doesn't hold up. But I just – there was so much about the movie. Like, okay. One of the opening scenes is with Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah.
And
at the bank.
Yeah. And – she's deflecting like assault rifle bullets. Like, she's not the Flash. Like, she's not Superman. Like, that part right from the get-go, I was rubbed the wrong way. Like, there are at least three other ways you could have shown how awesome Wonder Woman is, other than negating the need to have the Flash in your movie.
Well, she could have whipped her shield through.
Could have done any number of things, but like, and then like, I thought the Flash was really good. I thought he was really good comic relief. He was exactly what I wanted. Still don't care for the suit.
No, I still don't care for the suit. I did like what they ended up doing with Cyborg by the end of the movie.
Oh, he was so. Was it just me, or did he look worse when they covered him up?
I think he looked better after they covered him up.
See, like, I feel like, okay, when he was out, like, when he was, like, being Cyborg, when he wasn't wearing the sweatpants and the hoodie, I thought he looked really good. When they put the hoodie on him, I thought it looked really bad.
Are you talking about the metal?
Yeah, like
where they covered him, Cyborg, where they made him look like his cartoon version?
I'm just saying, like, Cyborg, he looked like, obviously you have scenes where he's walking around in a hoodie and sweatpants, right?
Yeah.
Like, the hoodie wasn't real, or it didn't look real. Like, it looked like they CGI'd a hoodie on this guy. Like, you're telling me you couldn't have put, like, football pads underneath this guy and have him wear a real hoodie? Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's those kind of effects. Like, they don't look right because you can't wash them out. They're not getting washed out. And so I felt like anytime he was in the hoodie and sweatpants, he just looked really bad. But anytime he was like he was out from, he was trying to hide his cyborgness, I thought he looked pretty good. I loved Aquaman.
Aquaman was awesome.
I don't know how I felt about Batman. I really don't, because it's not. It's not Zach's Batman.
No.
He's
That's the one thing I do have to say is that he possibly gave us the best Bruce Wayne Batman iteration and costume that we've ever gotten.
Like, and it makes me really, we're going to talk about this a little bit, but like, that also makes me really bummed out about the Matt Reeves situation. like I wanted to see more. It was like Superman was fine, like, but in the last action scene in the movie, like, it was really weird the way they chose to like use him. Like he comes in out of nowhere, literally punches the villain once, and then like completely turns his attention towards making like, you know, funny Superman-esque type comments and going and saving people while the rest of the team continues to get their butt whooped by the superpowered villain, like that apparently only Superman can hurt. And then he comes back and punches him one more time, and the whole film is like pretty much over. Like, it's just interesting the way that they chose to use him, because it goes back to what we talked about earlier. They didn't know how to use him in the context, and I feel like Zach would have. Like, I feel like Zach was building up to a way. I said this early on. I said this in a tweet.
Well, we didn't even get to see the black suit Superman.
I could care less about that. But well, but we were never going to get the villain Superman that I wanted to see, right? We weren't going to get to see the Herald. Like,
no.
There was no... at least in this cut, what we got, like, I don't see where that would have happened. You know, like, the string that would have led to Herald Superman or Black Suit Superman, like, those threads aren't... they're not in the movie. Like, you don't... They're if they are, they're hidden really well.
I think most of the problem is Warner Brothers can't get out of its own way.
So there's, I give Joss and Zach both credit, and I said this on Twitter. I'll give them both credit for this. I said on Twitter that if Zach or Joss don't use Superman's speech from the Justice League finale, the Justice League Unlimited finale, like, as long as they don't use or blow that speech in this movie, they really can't do anything wrong. And you know what speech I'm talking about, right?
Vaguely, I haven't seen that in a long time.
It's the one that he gives Darkseid where he's like, you know, he says that man won't quit, you know, until he draws his last breath. But me, on the other hand, I have a different problem. I live in a world of cardboard.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and he proceeds to, you know, it's one of the coolest scenes in all of Unlimited. Yeah, and he gets to cut loose. Like, I feel like that's the scene that Zach was going to build towards us being able to see. And again, this is me putting a lot of faith in something no one will ever see. This is me geeking out about what a director had already given me. You know, he gave me two movies where I thought that this was going to go and it didn't. So a lot of this is just on me. And I have no inside information whatsoever on anything. But I feel like that is the type of speech that we were going to be able to get. And that was the type of heroic moment that we were going to get. But the most heroic thing Superman does is save an apartment full of people. Like, I don't know. And the last thing I'll say before and then I'll stop bogarting this entire conversation about the Justice League movie and let you talk for a second. Did you notice that, and this stuck out like a sore thumb for me, Bruce Wayne's reason for killing Superman is the exact same reason he has for bringing him back to life?
Yep. Yep. I found that to be like a glaring, like, stupid, like, plot line.
It's they changed like one, it's the same exact sentence, but they changed one word and it means the exact same thing. I was like, wait a minute. I thought you were supposed to be like the world's like greatest detective and the most logical person on the planet. Your reason for killing him is the same as your reason for bringing him back.
Like, it would have made more sense to have had Darkseid revive him and then having to restore his memory.
It 100% would have.
And then having Bruce Wayne have to use his detective skills to restore Superman's memory would have been the more intelligent thing to do.
Or, I mean, they even still could have used the Mother Box thing on them like they did in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, but it should not have been the... Anyways, what? One last thing. The Danny Elfman touches to the score snap me out of the movie every single time.
I have to agree with you. While I do like Danny Elfman's Batman theme, which I did notice was prominently used, every time it changed to a different character and they had a different theme, it was really jarring.
Well, I don't think that was that's something that happened even under Snyder's watch, but I think it was using the iconic stuff that made it stand out more to me than anything else. But it also could be like there Wonder Woman's reveal led to that awesome Wonder Woman riff, which is that even in this movie?
Yeah.
Just in the beginning though, right? Like it never comes up again.
I don't remember hearing it very prominently afterwards.
So, and I remember hearing Elfman's Batman theme in The Dark Knight as well. It's very subtle. I can't remember what scene it is, but Hans Zimmer, right? Mm-hmm. He does use it, but very sparingly. Like it's almost an undertone. It's not the theme. And I don't know. There's stuff that I like about this movie, but I think I need to, like, I'm not willing to. I've done nothing but bash the movie, but I'm not willing to give a final verdict until I see what Warner Brothers says is the actual final movie. Because there's been a lot of, obviously there's been the whole rumor about the Snyder Cut, or people want to see the Snyder Cut, but now there's a rumor floating around that there is a director's cut, but it's not, it's more of a Joss cut, like, I guess. I don't know. So you've heard about this, right? They want to release like a Superman trilogy.
Trilogy?
Yeah, it's Man of Steel. It's a box set of Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and a director's cut of Justice League.
No, I hadn't heard of that. But
as like a Superman trilogy, which that's a great spin.
Yeah. I guess.
However you make that work. But did the Superman costume look a little weird to you?
The costume?
Yeah. Like it, you could see the little like plates they put under the suit to make him look more muscly.
Yeah, I think that's a Joss thing.
But you saw it too, right? That wasn't just me.
Face when he smiled was the most ridiculous thing in the world. Because they had edited out his mustache.
Oh, God, I don't even want to talk about the mustache thing.
But you could tell the scenes that he didn't have it when it was originally shot and the ones that they changed.
Yeah. But, man, I don't want to talk about that.
That was so jarring.
That's some petty studio shit right there. Pardon my language. But that's all. Like, ugh, whatever. I swear to God, if the villain in the next Mission Impossible movie is not Henry Cavill's mustache, I'm going to be really mad. I hope it's like a Krang situation where Henry Cavill has a sentient mustache on his face that's controlling his character.
You can't remove me.
It just like quivers a little bit when it talks. All right.
Yeah.
Anyways, what did you think?
Well, for you know, I agree in the sense of the music that was kind of jarring, and then a lot of the CG-isms. I found myself very confused by what direction the story was going at times because I couldn't tell. It was kind of a mess.
Well, yeah, it's like sometimes. Sometimes it was going where.
Sometimes you could kind of see where what they were doing, and then sometimes the dialogue was extremely weak. Like they basically like foobarred Batman in this movie and Bruce Wayne. Like he was basically a bumbling idiot for the most part.
It was like this is where we can see where Zach. Okay, I'm following along with the line that Zack Snyder had laid down, and then it was like, okay, now we just made a 90-degree turn.
Yeah, and I felt like Batman was one of the worst, like, underutilized characters in this. And Wonder Woman almost felt like the babysitter of everybody.
It's kind of like that one episode of Unlimited where they're all kids.
Yeah.
So, I feel bad for J.K. Simmons because I really like him as an actor.
He got screwed in that movie.
I mean, really wish that they had left him, which was the original theory that James Gordon is dead in the Batman in Snyder's universe.
Would have been better. I mean, he wasn't that bad of a James Gordon.
He wasn't bad at all. I'm just saying, like,
he was poorly used. He was about as used as having Superman's mom and girlfriend show up. Lois Lane and Martha Kent. Well, I mean, they were just pretty much throwaway scenes too.
Well, I think Lane needed to be there because
got to reset Superman.
Well, but that's, I think that is that leads back to the Flash scene in Batman v Superman. Like, so
yeah, because without her, he just goes off the rails.
And that was cool. That was cool to see that come back around and pay off. So,
but yeah, I mean, the film overall was just, I think it was just a mess. I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was, but I don't know if I would. I felt like it was very lacking.
It was definitely. It was definitely lacking. And now we just hear about how they're scrambling again. It's like you need to stop trying to change movies halfway through shooting and everything will be fine. Like, I mean, this is like, I feel like this is the problem. Like, I don't know how Wonder Woman got by unscathed, okay? Like, it's almost a fluke how it got by unscathed. So, you've got Man of Steel with nothing else in production, right? So you immediately go into production with Batman v Superman. And so along with Batman v Superman, you start trying to build out this world, and you get Suicide Squad, and Wonder Woman kind of goes into production at the same time, and, well, pre-production, not production, but pre-production. And Batman v Superman comes out and ends up being like this critical train wreck of a movie. And so Warner Brothers decides, okay, Suicide Squad needs to be funnier. So now we don't even get the original cut of Suicide Squad. Like, they do reshoots on that to try to make it more appealing rather than letting it exist as the director intended. Which leads to a movie that doesn't even make sense for the most part. Like,
I hated the movie in
the loosest way possible. It makes sense, and I liked the Joker in Suicide Squad. Do I think the Joker should have been in Suicide Squad? No, I do not, because I think if the Joker is in your movie, he is your movie. He is not a side story in your movie. Okay, so but anyways, Suicide Squad ended up being like a reshoot mess, and at the same time they were doing that, they were doing pre-production on Justice League, right? So Wonder Woman comes out and gets crazy. It does crazy well. I don't know how it got by unscathed. I really don't. But because of the success of Wonder Woman, then they decide, okay, we need to do reshoots and add more Wonder Woman into Justice League. Like, you can't do that. Like, you have to let the original story, like, unfold. Otherwise, all you're doing is making a movie by committee.
That's all DC's been doing, though, so far.
I will still see whatever comes from it, but everyone knows that, and this is just me being sad, but everyone knows Zach is done, and that makes me sad.
Well, I know that they were talking about, like, I saw a bunch of articles after the fact saying that Warner Brothers apparently was trying to get rid of him anyway.
And that goes back to the way I started the conversation, which was, I feel like he got tired of fighting for his vision and grieving over the loss of his family member.
So, like, he just said to heck with it and left.
Yeah, like, you guys obviously don't care about my vision anymore. I will be surprised if he makes another movie for Warner Brothers. Which, again, in my opinion, is a tragedy, because I think he's really good. Not like Oscar worthy or anything. I don't put him in the same category as like Christopher Nolan or anything like that, but like I think he's good at what he does. But I do know he directed The Stinger, the credit sequence. He directed that.
The stuff with the Flash and Superman and.
No, he directed the Lex Luthor thing.
Oh yeah, that was really good. They actually made Lex Luthor actually a viable villain in this one.
Well, did you notice how they just made him look like Luthor?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, you guys are just rolling back on everything.
Well, and so he didn't have that crazy stutter, stammer, and like he was more like the Justice League version.
Yeah. So my last little nitpick for the movie, and I was getting into this about the Flash because I thought he was funny, but I didn't care for the costume. What was up with him running? Like, he looked like Forrest Gump running as a child. Did you notice this?
Yeah.
And I had the conversation with Movie Revolt Dan on Twitter. Like, I didn't know if it was... Oh, I can't think of the actor's name right now. What's the guy's name? Ezra Miller. I didn't know if it was Ezra Miller doesn't know how to run properly, or if Barry Allen doesn't know how to run properly. Like, but Dan said the way that he was running made it kind of look like he was swimming through the Speed Force, which was kind of like how effortless it was for him to move. But I thought it just looked dumb.
Yeah, I don't particularly care for that at all.
So
I would have preferred that they had just gone the Flash television series version of running.
Now, I'm very excited for, again, we don't know if this is going to happen yet, but I really hope that Flashpoint ends up being the movie that we all want to see. But
I doubt it at this point.
If it's not Zach, or if it's... See, that Flashpoint is the perfect movie for Zach's art style.
Oh, yeah, it's supposed to be a very dark world.
You could totally have Joss... like do the intro, like if you wanted to, again, if you wanted to split up directions, you could have Joss do the intro and like the resolution, but like let Zach do everything in the middle, because that is entirely up his alley. Like I don't know. And if you don't have Jeffrey, if they aren't able to get Jeffrey Dean Morgan to play Thomas Wayne, there's no point in doing Flashpoint.
No.
None whatsoever.
He said he wants to do it.
And that's fine that he wants to, but given how things are right now, like if Warner doesn't want to cast him because he's part of like the legacy Zack Snyder stuff, like you clearly have no clue what you're doing. And I'll also say this, if Warner Brothers is so keen in aping what Marvel and Disney are doing with their superhero movies, maybe they should also take a page out of Disney's book, and with Disney remaking all of their animated stuff as live action, just remake your animated superhero movies as live action.
Yeah, like Batman Mask of the Phantasm, and you know,
or Justice League Doom.
Yeah,
or Flashpoint, or what Justice League was supposed to be, which is literally Justice League War. It is, like,
yeah. Justice except League it was done War, better.
Yes, Justice League War is way better than we got on screen, and it has everybody. Like,
Shazam too, didn't it?
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
I think it had Shazam in place of... No, it had Cyborg. Who did it have Shazam in place of? Aquaman?
Martian Manhunter, I think.
Maybe. possible.
I'm gonna look that up. They had Cyborg.
What do you think of that? What do you think of The Rock going up against Zachary Levi?
I don't know what to think, honestly. I mean, I can kind of see it, though. I mean, they both have that look.
See, I always thought...
But Shazam, I see more of a bulky...
I always thought The Rock should have been Shazam. And I think we've had this conversation before.
Yep.
Because... Yeah.
It looks like that they... Justice League War, they had... Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash, Cyborg, Shazam. So, they didn't have Aquaman, and they didn't have Martian Manhunter. So, Martian Manhunter is usually in the spot of, like, Cyborg anyway.
So, one of the interesting things I saw online was a tweet about Steppenwolf. Mm-hmm. Like, they banished him 1,000 years before, but he couldn't return until the son of Krypton was dead. Like, what was he doing for the last, like, 970 years?
Nobody knows.
Like, it's just, and again, that's probably like a loophole holdover from hacking up the script. I don't know. But, like, that's just something that
Lex
was like.
Luthor woke him up?
See, again, we'll never know. Like,
he was in Batman v Superman.
So,
with the mother box.
Like I said, I need to see it again. I will see it again. I've got it pre-ordered. I just feel real bad for the guy, because I was digging what he was putting down. I think he gave us, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Nolan's Batman. You and I are on record as saying, like, there's no reason this couldn't have been, you know, Christian Bale from the get-go.
However, I have very much enjoyed Ben Affleck.
For what he gave us, yes, but I'm just saying, like, there's no reason that it couldn't have been Bale's Batman. Like,
no reason why they couldn't do it now, considering that Ben Affleck may not stick around anyway.
Right, but I think it there's no way it is Bale now. Like it's we're past that. Which I mean, do you have a pick?
No.
Like
I can't imagine anybody else besides Affleck playing it at this point. And I know that Matt Reeves, I guess, has Jake Gyllenhaal as a possible want if, you know, they are going that direction, which I've heard rumors that they may have a different actor as Batman in that trilogy regardless.
I've heard John Hamm.
Yeah, I've seen that entire list, which was the list that came out prior to Ben Affleck getting the part.
Yeah, I remember Gus going
because they had Bomer,
list.
They had, you know, Hamm on there, they had Urban, they had, you know, a variety of those people on both lists.
You know, why don't you just go back to the guy who was originally supposed to play Batman in the Justice League?
Are you talking about the guy that's still complaining that all superhero movies suck and he hasn't watched any of them because he hasn't been cast?
I'm talking about Armie Hammer.
Yeah, that's the guy that's been complaining and saying
oh,
that.
I know. But
I think that... I would rather not at this point. I think that they should just pull somebody out of obscurity.
It just seems so weird, doesn't it? Like, is Bale the only guy that's played Batman 3 times?
Yeah. Yep, because Keaton did it twice.
Yep.
So, and this makes Affleck technically twice.
I don't even know if I count. Like, I don't know if I count.
Well, I don't count Suicide Squad.
I was gonna say, if you're counting these two movies, then you got to count Suicide Squad.
He was in like 59 seconds of Suicide Squad.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, the only movie Batman was in either of these two movies was Batman v Superman.
That's true. He didn't quite feel like himself here. Well, I guess he was in Suicide Squad at the beginning when he locked up Deadshot. And like, Harley Quinn and Joker, so
it's just I don't know. It's a bummer to me that there is a universe that we will never get to see now. There is a take on these heroes that we'll never get to see. And I was digging what they were putting down. And I have a feeling that these movies, the best I can hope going forward is that Man of Steel, but all the DCEU movies that have been out now, the best I can hope for is that they end up being like the first two Harry Potter movies. The last time I felt kind of like this was when Chris Columbus did the first two Harry Potter movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, and I still am to a lesser extent, like I was very much, you know, the third one's got to be done by him. If it's not done by him, then it's not even worth seeing, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, it comes out that Chris Columbus isn't going to do the third one. And then, of course, the guy that played Dumbledore passes away. So now you've got a different director and you've got a different Dumbledore. But to Warner Brothers' credit, you know, they didn't. I mean, they dragged me kicking and screaming through the rest of the Harry Potter movie. Like, they dragged me kicking and screaming through that transition.
But the replacement actor was better, actually.
He was better. And the world that the director set up was way better than the world that Chris Columbus had put on screen. Like, I cannot watch Harry Potter 1 and 2 anymore. Like, I cannot. They literally feel like they are done on sets. Like, the outdoor stuff literally feels like it's done on a backlot. When Alfonso Cuarón, I think, get blasted for that in the comments maybe, but when he took over for the third one, like, obviously, like, the money probably went through the roof. The production value obviously went through the roof, but it became consistent. Even though they changed directors a couple of times, like, it became consistent from that point on for the other six movies.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm right there. Like, I want Zach's vision. But if Warner Brothers can find a way to make, like, a definitive hard break in the way that these movies, like, look and feel, like, I feel like they will become their own thing. Their own short, was it five movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, their own short five movie thing. And I think it's too early to tell where Aquaman's going to fall. I mean, if you wanted to, you could even say that it's just the three movies that Zack Snyder did would be their own little thing. Because you know Warner Brothers isn't going to retcon out Wonder Woman.
No.
So if they can find a way to do that the way that they did with Harry Potter and just drag me kicking and screaming into this new DCEU that is completely divorced from what Snyder was putting down, I'm sure I'll be fine. And I'm going to go see whatever they put out next. I'm really excited to see what Matt Reeves does. I hope my wish is that he does it with Affleck. But you know, that probably won't happen, but it depends on when production starts, like what phase the moon is in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, everything's a mess right now, you know, but maybe they can, they just need to stop being, I feel like Warner just needs to stop reacting to things, because I think that just makes things worse.
In other words, they need to stop looking at what the fans are complaining about and just do what they're going to do.
Like let
the director have reign and then just kind of roll with it after.
And that's what, like, I feel like Warner Brothers is the, or Wonder Woman, Man of Steel and Wonder Woman, I feel like are the only two movies so far that the directors got to do what they wanted to do. to a certain extent. Like, like I said, I don't know how Wonder Woman got by. So
probably because it was new territory that even Marvel hasn't gone into yet.
It was about let's get the first female superhero on the screen.
Rather than, yeah, sitting there worrying about it.
Yep.
Which could be. I mean, it was good.
That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, that's about all I got on that. I just wonder what people think on the whole, you know, Ben Affleck Batman thing and the whole, you know, Justice League and the Crisis. Just because those have been such, like, pretty much the biggest things in DC media lately.
Their TV stuff is on point.
Yeah, but they also, like you said, they get points where they can, you know, if they make an error, they can correct it within a couple episodes.
Right.
Whereas the movies, you're waiting 2 years or more, or a year from the next movie of whatever it is in that franchise.
Yeah, and that doesn't help out anybody. It's disappointing. I think overall I left feeling disappointed from the theater.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed with the movie. I had to just kind of keep to myself for a minute, and then I complained afterward.
So
I think that about rounds this episode out. I know that it's been long-winded, but I think we've had a really good discussion on all the content related to it all.
I think so. I mean, I probably went off a little bit on a tangent. Like I said, I don't get to talk to a lot of people anymore. So I was just like, oh, I'm just going to, you want to talk about this? Let's talk about this. I'm just going to throw it all out there for everyone to come at me with.
You want justice? Here's justice.
So it was, yeah, we're done.
Yeah. So just let us know what you guys think in the comments section or on Facebook or Twitter. And until next time, unleash the geek in you.